we have here today is a story of a resurrection appearance. But as you've heard me say so many times before, these are never just stories. These are teachings, wisdom, embedded in stories. You all know that word embedded by now, I'm sure. Embedded in these stories is teaching that has no value unless it gets into your heart and soul, stirs you up, and changes you. That's why it's called Holy Scripture. So these seemingly simple, straightforward narratives are full to the brim of profound teaching, transformative power, life-changing, direction-altering wisdom from above. And so here we have a story of Jesus appearing. Those of you who were here last week will remember that incredible scene when the disciples are locked away in a room. The last time they heard of or saw Jesus, he was hanging, tortured from a cross. The end of ends, darkness wins, brutality wins, the goodness of God loses. What could be more devastating? And in that locked room, in that depth of darkness, comes the risen one himself appearing to them. And if you recall, he says, "As my Father sent me, so I send you." So Jesus appears in a transfigured form, an eternal spirit that no human darkness can destroy, the victory of God, of goodness, and in that light tells his disciples to go, sends them. And then we have this scripture. A few verses before the reading this morning, we have a seemingly simple line. Simon Peter says to his fellow disciples, "I'm going fishing." Now, does that look strange to you at all? The risen Lord has appeared to him. Can you imagine such an experience? How many days would it take for you to get over such a supernatural, overwhelming moment where everything is different? And yet here we have Peter a few days later saying, "I'm going home, I'm going fishing." And that's the first lesson here. We human beings seem to be programmed to naturally just go back to our old ways. Go back to what is familiar, what is easy. Even when God appears in human form before us, even the greatest spiritual experience can't seem to keep us from backsliding into what's comfortable, what's known, what's easy. And this is not a condemnation of us, this is a recognition of our humanity. And so there's Peter, just like you and me. He's seen the risen Lord, and he goes home to go fishing. But then we have the next piece of the lesson. What happens? He and his fellow disciples go out onto the boat, and it says, but that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. And that teaching means that there is no way to live your life disconnected from spirit and catch blessing. Oh, you might make a good business deal. You might even win the lotto. But you will not be able to tap into the source of joy overwhelming, of peace in all circumstance, of our birthright that God wants each of us to attain if we seek to do it by ourselves. And all of us have that same problem. We like to do it ourselves, even at age 2, don't we? I'm going to do it by myself. There comes a day when we have to face the fact that we are vulnerable creatures and that we could all use a little help. And the amazing thing is that our Maker, the Creator of the universe, the one who loves us no matter who we are and what we do, reaches out to us saying, "I want to help you." But what do? We go fishing. We go back to our old ways, to the routine. It may be boring, it may be miserable, but at least it's familiar. This teaching is to wake us up, to get us out of that rut. And so then the next verse tells us, after they've caught nothing, empty lives going nowhere, just at daybreak, just when the sun is beginning to rise, when the mist is breaking over the beach, a solitary figure appears. Now, you creative types, I want you to picture that. You're out there on a boat and you see this silhouette appear out of nowhere, watching you. And that silhouette calls out, says, "Children, what a beautiful thing to be called. Children, have you caught any fish?" Friends, that's like saying, "John, Elaine, Frank, George, do you have any blessing in your life? Have you experienced God in your life today?" And the disciples have to say, "No, we haven't." And so this strange figure that nobody recognizes, who's just passing by, says, "Cast your net to the right side of the boat." Now, it doesn't take too much to figure that one out, does it? Cast your net this way, not that way, this way. That means don't live in impatience. Don't live in anger. Have some mercy. Have some forgiveness. Have some kindness. Have some random kindness. Cast your net the other side. And then what happens? Now consider this. These disciples don't know who this is. They're not going anywhere. They have no direction. But they obey. They agree to do it anyway. And this is a great teaching for us. Even when you have run out of gas, when you've run out of faith, when nothing makes sense anymore, if you will try it, if you will try to apply the teaching that comes down to us by one who cares more than anything, anyone on the planet for you, cast your net to the side of the wisdom of Jesus. Cast your net even if you don't have any hope that it will make any difference. Even if you've forgiven somebody 100 times and you've had it, remember those words. Cast your net to the right side. And what happens? What is the teaching? Revelation from God, friends. They get so many fish, they can't pull them out of the water. What does that mean to us? The blessings of God are overwhelming, all-consuming, flooding us if we will follow the teachings. Have faith that this is wisdom for living. Not just a good idea, not just something we do on Sunday morning, but that we can be transformed by it. Plug in to the source of blessing. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. This is a message for every last one of us, each in our own way. Each one of us needs blessing somewhere in our life. Not just in the pocketbook, not just in the relationship, just in being stable and content to be alive. God wants this for you. This is the blueprint, how to do it. And we go on. At that moment, John, the beloved one, the one who intuitively understood these things, whispers to Peter, "It is the Lord." He's figured it out. He hasn't recognized him, but he understands that there's only one place that that kind of blessing can come from. And that's how we begin to see God. We don't see God in an apparition, in a vision. We see God in the blessing of goodness, in the little things. It appears that our Maker likes to appear in the little things. What we would walk by without paying any attention. You know those mountaintop experiences that Robert was talking about? I hope you've all had at least one in your lifetime. That's what we're here for. To have that breakthrough mountaintop experience. One moment in our life when all of our burdens are wiped out and we're happy just to be alive. But we can't stay there. And so God teaches us that those massive moments in our lives that make our lives worthwhile can be rediscovered in the smallest of ways. Today, before you walk out of that front door, you can have a mountaintop moment, a moment of a great haul of blessing, just by casting your net to the right side, just by saying peace to you, to somebody you don't want any peace for. Try it. That's the mountaintop. And so then we go on. When Simon Peter heard this, that it was the Lord, and realized what they were dealing with, that this wasn't just fish they were picking up, that they were in contact with God present in their lives, he put some clothes on, and it says in Scripture, for he was naked. Now let me ask you fishermen around here, is there any reason that one should be naked to fish? Does it help you fish better? Why would Peter be naked? Well, obviously what we have here is proof that you cannot read the Bible literally on the surface without going deep. This is a symbol. This is a teaching. Peter was naked because he had lost his faith. He had denied Christ at the high point of this drama. He had said, no, absolutely not. I don't know him. And he was stripped. And then all of a sudden, it's a new day, a new beginning. He has a chance to do it again. And so from his barrenness, he puts on the mantle of faith and jumps into the water. Now again, if you're reading literally, what sense would it make to put on clothes and then jump in the water? This is a teaching. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. He believed once again that God is among us, and he was able to approach Jesus in spite of his terrible failure. And then we read that the other disciples came in on the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land. And that too is a teaching. You heard earlier when we gave the baby dedication, it takes a village. Well, friends, it takes a community to do God's work. It takes all of us together making a team to haul in the blessings that God wants us to have. It's not a one-person thing. We do need our solitary time, our private time, our quiet time, our face-to-face time. But then it's time to go out and together answer the call. And so we read that the fish were brought in, and Peter went and hauled them ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Now, once again, I suggest to you that this cannot possibly be read literally. Do you think that the Apostle John and his buddy Andrew went around and counted every little fish that was in the net and then wrote it down so they could put it in a book? Not possible. It turns out that in ancient times, the science of the day believed that there was 153 different types of fish in the ocean. And so therefore, this haul of all the different kinds of fish means that the church, the body of Christ, is meant for everybody. Through the diversity of humanity, all of us are called to be brought in to a new way of life, a new way of relating to each other, a new understanding of the purpose of our existence. Oh, we're all different. We all have different political opinions. We all have different interpretations. But if we can find that common ground, if we can agree on the one thing that matters, that God, our Maker, is unconditional love, we can all come together and build the body of Christ in the world today. And just in passing, I'll share this with you. This scripture we've just read of the hauling in of the fish is tied to a saying of Jesus in Matthew 13, saying, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they brought it ashore, sat down, put the good into baskets, and threw out the bad. I just let that stay with you for a little while. There comes a day, there comes a time when we've run out of time. Today is the day to be working on this. Don't wait till it's too late to be thrown out of the basket. And this teaching says there is always a second chance as long as we're alive. And we find out about this in the very next scene. First, we're told, though there were many fish, the net was not torn. Now that word torn in Greek is schisma, as in schism. For those of you who know what that means, schism is the word we use in the churches that are all divided, division, broken apart. And boy, do we know down through history how the churches are so full of schisms. You've heard lately in the news, you know, whether to give communion to somebody or not. The pain that some of us feel when we go to another church, we're not allowed to have communion. And the joy that in this church, everybody's allowed to have communion. And what this teaching tells us is that in spite of all the different kinds of people, the net was not torn. The unity of the church is guaranteed through the teachings of Christ for those who live out the calling of being assembled as faithful people who believe in God. And so then they sit around that campfire, and you might remember that he asks Peter, do you love me? How many times does he ask him that? Anybody remember from Sunday school? Three times. Does that ring a bell for anybody? How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. This is the redemption of Peter. This is the moment when Jesus lifts him out of his total failure and gives him another chance. But with that new chance, with that pulling him out of the depths of despair in spite of himself, he also gives them a teaching. If you love Jesus, take care of others. If you love me, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. That doesn't mean a bowl of soup, although that's nice too. It means love, care, respect, value your fellow human beings. That is the sign that you love Jesus. And then finally, as this teaching closes in this climactic moment in the story of the resurrected Lord, Jesus prophesies how Peter is going to die. And we're reminded that in the Last Supper, Peter says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus says, you cannot follow me where I am going. And Peter says, I'll lay my life down for you to follow you. And Jesus tells him at that time, you cannot follow me, you will deny me. And today we face the scripture that tells us, you love me, come and follow me. And for anybody here who has ever hit rock bottom, who feels that they are not worthy of God's care and love and call, this is the answer. You are worthy, you are called, you are forgiven. Stand up and become part of that mission of Christ in this world for the sake of the world. This is the word of the gospel. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, open our hearts to your goodness, to the presence of God among us, and to the call on our lives to become the people that God wants us to be signs of love in this world, to your glory. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.